Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in! You are tuned in to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army wives. Our life, our family, our soldier. Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army wives, by Army wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more. Now reporting for duty, your hosts, the AWN Core Team.
Hello, Army families. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. I'm your host, Mandy Gibson.
And I'm your co-host, Lisa Walters. Today is Monday, August 29th, 2016, and this is show number 578. We're glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
Tonight on AWTR, our featured guest is Rachel Starn, author of The War at Home, A Wife's Search for Peace, and Other Missions Impossible. She will be chatting with us about her memoir, which is a vivid portrait of life as a military spouse that is as honest as it is hopeful. You can follow Rachel Starnes on social media at rachelstarnes.com, Twitter at Rachel S. Starnes, and Facebook, Rachel S. Starnes. Stay tuned. We've got a great show ahead for you.
If you're listening to our show live, join our fun show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of our guest, or just hang out and chat with the AWN Core Team. Head over to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and be sure to use the hashtag ArmyWife to participate.
Well, tonight's show is brought to you by our Army Wife Talk Radio show sponsor, TDP MetLife. While defending our nation, you can protect your family's smiles and save with TRICARE Dental Program. Enroll today. You can learn more at metlife.com/TRICARE or call 1-855-MET-TDP-1. But before we move on with our show, Lisa, let's take a few minutes to catch up. What's been going on with you lately?
Well, my big fun news is that I have finally found a hairstylist that I love.
That's important.
It is. And it's taken me, 9 months or so to find her. And it was actually thanks to Sharita, our Army Wife Network editor-in-chief and all-around lovely person. And before she PCS'd, she posted a picture on Facebook of her and the gal that she had been going to while she was here and talked about how much she loved her and she was really sad that she had to leave. And so I found her right away and called the salon where she works and set up an appointment and went last week and just absolutely loved her. So, yeah, it took me 9 months. But, you know, it's one of those things about moving, that it's frustrating. There's just those little things, you know.
No, it is, though, because I'm right there with you because I'm 9 months, I feel like you really deserve a gold star for that. Like, no joke, because it's taken me longer than that before. And it's always hard because, you know, when I was, before I, married my husband and everything, I had the same lady do my hair for like 16 years. And so I was just like, what do I do now? And it was really hard finding somebody else. And still to this day, every time I go back home, if I'm close to needing my hair done, I go to her because it's hard. But I'm so glad that you found someone, and kudos to Sharita for hooking you up.
Yeah, I was very grateful that she posted that picture, I guess. And, I'm even going to take my daughters when, they're ready for haircuts and stuff. I'm going to take them to her. She's just wonderful. So.
Awesome. But, yeah, I'm so glad.
that was one thing. So anyway, what about you? What's going on with you?
Well, we're in the middle of the PCS, almost done, almost done. We move into our house next week, finally, finally, finally. So, but, you know, I don't know what it is. I do know what it is. So every time we move, you have a different style house, right? And so you have different rooms,
right.
And you have, you know, different things to decorate. Well, you know, Pinterest consumes my life a lot anyway, but when we move, Pinterest consumes my life all the time with redecorating. And I know my husband probably wants to wring my neck, but I feel like I redecorate our house every time we move. But I mean, for instance, like our living room in the last house that we're in, we just had like one big window. Well, then the living room in the house that we're going to has four windows, so I have to get new curtains. Right? Because I have to have curtains on the windows and I'm going from one window to four.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, I went to IKEA the other day and I'm pretty sure my husband probably wanted to wring my neck again when he saw what I came home with. But, you know, it just Pinterest consumes my life. I get on there and I get addicted and I'm like, ooh, that's cute. Oh, that looks fun. Oh, let's do this. And I told my husband he really needs to get a Pinterest account because I have a whole board that's like projects just for him to do. And so my husband really likes my husband likes to build. He enjoys woodwork. And so he's built a lot of like our furniture and things like that. And so he has a project on there too. He has a board on there. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. That's nice. And that's probably one of the reasons why he might get a little bit irritated because every time I'm like, oh, this would be really cool. Can you build this? Oh, can you make that? Oh, he lives. So really it's just me directing him on what to redecorate. But that's, you know, that's really been consuming my life right now. But I'm excited. I'm excited to finally, you know, get to Fort John, and I'm excited to redecorate our house and put all my Pinterest ideas and my husband's project board, if you will, to see some of those things come to life. So I'm not sure how excited he is about that, but that's one of the big things that I've been really kind of doing recently. So,
yeah.
Yes,
now,
yes, yes.
Does he really, I mean, does he enjoy projects like that, building things? And
no, he does. He does. He's, you know, he really enjoys more of, like, the furniture aspect of it. So, look, he's getting ready. Once we kind of get settled in, he's actually going to build us a brand-new, like, bed frame, like a bedroom suit, not just the frame and the headboard and everything, but probably also, like, a dresser and some nightstands and things like that. So, He likes to build a lot more of, like, the furniture aspect of it, you know, there's a lot of other things that I want him to build that I know he can that he may not like as much. So I'm like, can you make this for the wall? Can you make, you know, this? Can you make that? So, but yeah, he does enjoy it. He's made some really nice furniture, and some, he made my parents a really nice, like, entertainment center for they had built a small home on my family's land in Kentucky recently, and he built that for them. And everybody's like, "Ooh, can you build us something?" And he's like, "I would, but I do not have time." So, yeah. So that's what we've been toying around with that a little bit. So, it's a busy time of the year. So, is there anything that you guys have been getting ready for?
Well, we. September tends to be fairly busy for us. You know, we start back up into homeschooling usually either right before or, you know, the day after Labor Day. So we're kind of mentally and physically gearing up for that. And then I'm really involved with PWOC, which is Protestant Women of the Chapel here at JBLM. And so... I'm teaching a class, and so I'm kind of getting prepared for that. And my oldest daughter, I've mentioned before, she's been working at a camp this summer. She is done working there on the 5th, and so we'll be moving her back home, and she'll be searching for a job, and so there's a little bit of transition there. So, yeah, September's going to be kind of busy. But, you know, it's okay. that's it's life.
It does seem to be that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot. But I mean, it's with school starting.
Yeah. Fall is my favorite time of year. So, you know, I always look forward to all that stuff because it also means that fall is here. And so, yeah, I'm kind of excited about that part of it, too.
Are you excited? I'm sure you're very excited to have your oldest daughter back home, too. And
yeah.
And all that. I think that happens to a lot. I was just looking at the calendar, too. I mean, of course, we're a movie and everything, so it's a little bit different. But, you know, and then I was like, oh, we're, you know, going to get signed up for this. And then, you know, I'm involved in the Spouses Club. And so, you know, there's some meetings and stuff going on with that. And it's like, oh, my gosh, like, September is going to be over before we know it.
Right.
It's like that transition between seasons. And it's such a, especially on posts, I know a lot of activities on different posts, you know, a lot of activities and groups and everything start up again once school starts too. So it is very busy, but it sounds like you guys have some fun stuff coming up though.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So tell me, I just heard briefly that you created a video. So tell me about that.
I did. So all of you listeners out there, I got the guts and I created a video. And I created a video on the first part of our PCS. And the video is uploaded to Army Wife Network Talk Radio or Army Wife Network's YouTube channel, I should say. So go check it out. We will be linking to social media as well. So stay tuned for that. But I just posted a video about our PCS and really, it's just hopefully some helpful tips and advice and a couple funny stories, if you will. Hopefully someone can give a chuckle at my expense. But, you know, I think it was fun for me to be able to do it and share just some of the things that we found easy and some of the things that we found fun and just kind of our experiences and be able to share those, especially for people who are, you know, first time doing their first PCS, because I don't know when we did ours, I had no clue on what to expect or what were some things that might be helpful. And so just some things that I've learned along the way. So I was really excited to do it and I was kind of nervous, but I think it turned out well. So look for that on our YouTube channel and social media, and hopefully you guys will enjoy it and hopefully get some things that, you know, tips or just advice or hope maybe just laugh at me, but that's okay too. I hope you guys enjoy it. It's the part one, and so once we kind of get settled in up at Fort Drum, I'm going to do another segment, and it's going to be PCS part two, and just talk to you about the latter part of the PCS. So please go out there and look at it and enjoy it, and I hope you guys do it. I hope you guys look at it, but they should be posting it on social media too, so keep an eye out for it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think they're going to try and put a link to it tonight so that people will have an opportunity to go see it.
Yeah.
I think that is so great that you did that. I mean, one of the things I love about Army Wife Network is the resources, you know, that are available. And so that's just another one that I think will be really helpful and fun for people who are in the midst of that themselves. So that's great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, like I said, I hope it can at least just, you know, give some people some pointers or maybe a different you know, way to look at something or to do, you know, your next PCS. So thank you. I'm excited and hope all of our listeners enjoy it. All right. Well, it looks like it's time for us to take a quick break. So stay tuned and we will be right back.
We know military life can take us lots of places and we can vote from all of them. Go to fvap.gov and select your state. There, you and your spouse can fill out the FPCA form to register and request your absentee ballots. When your ballot comes, vote and send it back to your local election official, and you're all set. Visit fvap.gov to get started.
Kathy Ireland for the Will Rogers Institute.
Are you worried that your kids aren't spending enough time being physically active? The best fitness is family activity. Ride bikes, play soccer, or just take a walk through the neighborhood. The important thing is to get your children moving with you. For more information on family activities and fitness, call the Will Rogers Institute.
Call toll-free 877-957-7575 or visit wrinstitute.org and find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives, a network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
Doctor's provider provides faster exam reimbursement. The defense activity for non-traditional education support at www.dantes.doded.mil has changed to an online electronic reimbursement request system that will expedite the exam's reimbursement process for all service members, according to Stacey Kirkpatrick, a Dantes Education Program Specialist. The policy change includes reimbursement of test fees for the following exams: the General Education Development beginning October 2016, Graduate Management Admission Test, Graduate Record Examination General and GRE Subject, the Praxis Core and Praxis Subject Assessment, and the ACT and the SAT. The online electronic reimbursement request is now the only option available for service members to receive reimbursement to cover the cost of test fees incurred for exams taken at national or international test centers, Kirkpatrick said. Paper-based reimbursement requests were retired March 1st and are no longer accepted. The department continues to receive, on average, 25 paper-based reimbursement requests in the mail each week, said Tom French, a Dantes Education Program's employee. The new online process is more efficient and beneficial for a service member because payment is deposited directly into their bank account, generally within 2 to 3 weeks after submitting documentation and receiving approval online. Service members can submit the electronic reimbursement request online through Dantes website. On the Dantes website, members should select examinations and reimbursement eligibility to get started. You can read more at www.defense.gov/news/article/923456/Dante-provides-faster-exam-reimbursement/source/gov-delivery.
And hot on AWN this week, experience contributor Kit talks about those tough questions kids ask us about military life, like, Mommy, is Daddy going to war again? And who is he warring against? Kit shares a recent conversation with her young daughter and how she struggled, like we all do, to find suitable answers to her daughter's honest questions, and wonders, how exactly does one prepare a 4- and 6-year-old for a deployment? You can read more at armywifenetworks.com/those-tough-questions.
This week, in our series of interviews from a recent trip to Joint Base Lewis-McChord, Washington, to attend MilSouth Fest 2016 as a media partner with Military OneClick, we share this interview with attendee Cindy Washburn, who shares us with us what she was excited to learn about at this event.
All right, state your name and where you're from and how long you've been at JBLM.
My name is Cindy Washburn, and I am here stationed at JBLM, and we've been here since July last year, 2015.
So how did you hear about MilSpouse Fest 2016?
There was buzz on Facebook, and of course, Sharita posted it. And then I had friend word of mouth, and there was really good advertising around post.
What has been your greatest takeaway from today's event?
greatest takeaway is you're not alone. You're in the same boat with everybody else, and that you need to reach out the sooner the better and not wait until you're halfway through your term wherever you're stationed.
Would you recommend for other male spouses to attend events like this? Why or why not?
Absolutely. Within the first 10 minutes, I learned something, and we have been doing this quite some time, and to have knowledge, up-to-date information about where you can find things at the click of your finger at home in your pajamas with your coffee and no makeup is fantastic.
Well, thank you very much. Cindy Washburn here at Mill Spouse Fest 2016.
That was such a great interview with Cindy. This is our last in the series of interviews with the AWN team recorded at JBLM. Each week over this past summer, we aired a clip. And if you missed any of them or you want to listen to them again, just search our podcast archives that are available to you 24/7. And moving on to our next segment now, Lisa, why don't you go ahead and tell us about this week's PSA?
All right, last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to one per show and ask for them 10 days in advance. Send your PSA to info@armywifenetwork.com. The difference is you. It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes the same time to create a dropout. And the difference could be you. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Take the pledge at unitedway.org and make a difference in the life of a child. A public service message brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council. And that's it for our PSA. Coming up next after these quick commercial breaks is our new Sixth Gen, bringing you the need-to-know stories. We'll be right back.
While defending our nation, your active duty service member can protect their family's smiles with the TRICARE Dental Program, TDP. It's dental protection that's deserved. This dedicated military service entitles spouses and or children and members of the National Guard or Reserve to receive comprehensive dental coverage. But don't forget, TRICARE Dental coverage requires enrollment. TRICARE medical program options do not include TRICARE dental coverage. Call 1-855-MET-TDP1 or visit us online at tricare.mil/TDP.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible, and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit armywifenetwork.com for details. It's time for the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6 Gen, bringing you all your need-to-know news. World War II soldiers, known as Merrill's Marauders, gathered for one last reunion this week. The group recently met in Philadelphia to celebrate the 70th annual reunion of Merrill's Marauders, a group of originally 2,750 officers and men of the 5307th Composite Unit, who marched into the harsh Burmese jungle in February 1944 on a secret mission they were not expected to survive. They are named after their commanding officer, Brigadier General Frank Merrill. "They were expendable," said Marvin Boyenga, 90, who joined the Marauders as a replacement months after the initial mission. "The Army didn't think they would come back." Boyenga and Bob Passanisi, 92, two of about 26 members still living, were joined in Philadelphia this week by four other members of the group. The Marauders fought five major battles and walked about 1,000 miles, farther than any other World War II fighting force, with only what they could carry on their backs or pack on mules. Their mission was to wreak havoc on Japanese lines of supply and communication, with the ultimate objective of capturing the Japanese airfield and town of Mikoyama, nearly 800 miles away. After 6 months, with only 200 men able to continue, replacements known as the Mars Task Force were added. The rest of the original unit had been killed or wounded in combat or felled by malaria, typhus, or dysentery, Passanisi said. The Marauders were later grandfathered into the Army's Elite Ranger Company. Next year, some of the members hope to meet up at West Point, where their commanding officer, Brigadier General Merrill, is buried. U.S. golfers are joining forces to raise millions of dollars for military families this Labor Day weekend. This Labor Day weekend, the golf industry will look to top the nearly $6.5 million in donations it raised in 2015 through Patriot Golf Day, the leading fundraiser for the nonprofit organization Folds of Honor. All money raised during this critical campaign will fund educational scholarships for the family members of military men and women who have fallen or been disabled in combat while serving in the United States Armed Forces. Open to golfers across the country in all 50 states, Patriot Golf Day will take place from September 4th through the 7th. Throughout the weekend, golfers who play at participating courses will be asked to add one extra dollar to their green fees to support Folds of Honor Scholarship Program, which has benefited more than 10,000 military family members since its inception in 2007. Congressional gold medals have been awarded to family members of the first Black Marines. A legacy of service that began in 1941 was honored this week at Camp Johnson, North Carolina. Congressional gold medals were awarded at the Bachelor Officers' Quarters at Camp Johnson to honor the service and sacrifice of the country's first Black Marines. For retired Marine Will Smith, the medal ceremony solidified the legacy of service that his grandfather began in 1942 when he stepped foot in the racially segregated training camp at Montford Point, which is now known as Camp Johnson. "My grandfather was one of the original Montford Point Marines," said Smith, a recently retired major in the Marine Corps. "He enlisted in the Marines back in 1942 and served in Saipan, California, and here on Camp Johnson. This is where all the character and integrity was instilled in him." Marine Corps began accepting Black service members after President Franklin Roosevelt signed Executive Order 8802 on June 25, 1941. Which prohibited racial discrimination in the national defense industry. It was the first federal action that promoted equal opportunity and prohibited employment discrimination in the United States. That federal action prompted the construction of Montford Point, where approximately 20,000 Black recruits trained from 1942 to 1949, until President Harry Truman signed an executive order that ended segregation in the military on July 26, 1948. During Thursday's ceremony, Smith accepted the medal on behalf of his grandfather, Sherman Ray. "The amazing thing is I was able to get promoted the first time and the last time right on this same base," Smith said. "It brought back some nostalgia and a lot of history of our family that we can keep the legacy going." Medals were also given to the families of Rufus Roundtree and John Henry Dockery. The Congressional Gold Medal is the highest civilian honor bestowed by Congress. "The legacy that the Montford Point Marines left behind them is very important for the Marines coming through Camp Johnson," said Colonel David Grant, commanding officer of Marine Corps Combat Service Support Schools and area commander of Camp Johnson. This ceremony today is a debt that we can't ever repay to those Marines that came before us, but it is our form of showing respect. That's all the news for this week. Stay tuned to Army Wife Network's Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6 Gen signing off.
Operation In Touch offers special savings, coupons, and editorial content tailored to the lives of our active military families, providing useful beauty tips and recipes, as well as news and ongoing promotions. Operation In Touch is sponsored by Unilever and its brands, serving as a resource for American military families who serve this nation each and every day. As a member of Operation In Touch, you'll receive exclusive offers and savings on Unilever products you know and love. Registration is easy and free. Simply visit OperationInTouch.com to sign up today. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed a live show or just can't make it? Don't worry, AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mandy Gibson.
And I'm your co-host, Lisa Walters. Tonight, we have with us Rachel Starnes, author of The War at Home, A Wife's Search for Peace, and Other Missions Impossible. Rachel received her MFA in Creative Nonfiction from California State University, Fresno. Her essays have appeared in the Colorado Review and Front Porch Journal.
She has lived in Scotland, Texas, Saudi Arabia, Florida, California, and Nevada, and is currently on the move again with her husband, two sons, a cat, and a puppy. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thanks. It's so wonderful to be able to talk to you guys tonight.
Oh, great. We're so glad you're here. It's such a pleasure to have us. To have you on our show today. So tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
Sure. I am calling you from an empty house in beautiful Key West. We've just relocated here. We're on Naval Air Station Key West. So my husband is a pilot, and we've just transferred over from active duty Navy life to the full-time reserves. So it's been a lot of big changes, and we've spent most of the summer in a temporary place because there wasn't base housing available. And so now we're super happy to be on base, but our stuff isn't going to show up maybe for another couple of weeks. So we're eating off the kitchen floor, and I'm trying to find a room that doesn't echo too much to talk to you tonight.
Well, you sound great. So you must be in a good room. So.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us from your empty place tonight. Hopefully it won't be too much longer like that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you titled your memoir, The War at Home. Tell us more about how you came to this title.
Sure. Well, actually, it's kind of an interesting process. There's so much more to writing a book, actually, than just writing the book. And this is the part that I'm terrible about. So, like, coming up with a title and writing the copy on the back flap and, like, figuring out how to talk to blurbers and how to pitch the book, I'm crap at that. I really was bad at coming up with titles. I had a list of about 50 of them, and they were all really, really terrible. So this title was actually come up with by my editor at Penguin, and I'm so grateful, because if it had been one of my titles, I mean, they were so bad. So I liked it, though, because it worked on several different levels. It talked about, you know, kind of brought in the idea of modern military families, And it also brought up the idea of the struggle within a marriage when you're trying to figure out how to do the right thing for your family when sometimes the right thing isn't clear or there are several right things and you don't know which path to take. And also I think it kind of points to the struggle that I had with myself growing up as a daughter of an oil rigger and knowing what it's like to have my dad gone half the time, knowing how painful that was, and then also knowing that, you know, I really wanted to have a family and I was going to be recreating that for my children. So, you know, I'm all in at this point. I'm proud to be where I am. I'm excited to be where I am. But I also kind of, I know how much this can hurt sometimes, and I'm not always really at peace with that choice.
Yeah, that's, I really like the title of the book, and I think, you know, what you've just spoke about, there's really so many different aspects of relationships and struggles that happen, and so I love the title and how it can really pinpoint many different factors of some of the things that you deal with at home. And, you know, a striking element of the war at home is its honesty, you know, its willingness to reveal fear, need, and what while your husband is away. Do you consider openness a means of surviving, you know, this war? And was it difficult to reveal so much of yourself in your book?
Oh, my gosh. Yes and yes. I think it's something that I've been frustrated with over the years. We've been doing this 12 years now, being married, number one, and also, you know, being in the Navy and living this lifestyle. And one of the things that I have struggled with is that feeling that we all kind of put up this wall of everything's just fine, you know. And each place that you go, while it feels like sometimes that, you know, that each move and each relocation kind of erases you in a little bit of a way where you... So you're starting over every single time. I really found that difficult, and I wanted to challenge that. And by writing it all down and being very honest about the places where I've screwed up and where I really struggled and where I found things difficult, I really hoped to kind of throw a rock at the wall and say, like, no, everything's not fine sometimes. And you know, I wish that there was more of a way that we could talk about this and not have it be, you know, a bad reflection on our family or on, you know, whether or not we were handling military life well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I think that was a very big struggle. And especially also since, so it took me 7 years to write the book, and it kind of had a momentum of its own after a while. But, you know, especially since publication too, that's been an interesting thing to think about is like, you know, for 7 years that when I was writing this thing and working on it, I had no guarantee that it would go anywhere or that this wasn't just my pipe dream, you know, like I never knew that it would, I never had any certainty that it would be published. So, you know, now that my dream did kind of come true with that, that's been wonderful, but it's also something that I'm going to be dealing with in the future. At each successive post, there's going to be this book out there that has my whole life in it. So all the cards are on the table, which is,
yeah,
you know, a relief in some ways and kind of scary in others.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure that openness and honesty, while it, you know, might be a little bit scary, I'm sure it will be a huge encouragement and a help to those who, you know, start feeling like they're in this alone or nobody else feels this way, and that kind of thing.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Well, you note in a letter to your readers that you were never supposed to be a military wife, and then later remark that you held different opinions about the military from your husband. What marked your personal transition from shock to acceptance? And then where do you stand on being a military spouse now?
Ah, yeah. Well, one of the things I think we all kind of, as as children growing up, we watch our parents, and I think we kind of come up with a game plan for how we're going to be successful in life based on what we perceive to be their mistakes. And what I took away from watching my folks struggle with long periods of separation and distance, and, you know, there were no phone calls, there was no email, anything like that. I said, okay, right, I'm not doing that. The key to success in life is I'm not going to marry a man who leaves. And, you know, I think my opinion about whether or not I would end up with as a military spouse was a firm no, but that was also, that would have applied to being the wife of a traveling salesman or like a pro football player or a drummer in a metal band that was always on tour. I mean, just the big idea for me was I'm not going to deal with the absences. And then, of course, when I fell in love with my little brother's best friend, that all went out the window, and I found myself really being challenged on this big thing that I thought I was never going to do. And, you know, it's been a huge surprise for me. It's been a huge journey. And looking back over these 12 years, I think I've definitely gotten over the shock, and I've gotten past the acceptance to a point where I look at the journey that we've taken and how much we've grown and how much our family has grown, and I'm really proud to be where I am today, specifically because I was so scared of ever doing anything like this. And I had zero idea of what it was going to be like. My grandfathers both were in the military, but my parents' generation, my father was eliminated from his draft obligation for medical reasons in Vietnam, and Ross's dad didn't serve for the same reason. So we didn't see that growing up. And I think, like a lot of civilians out there, I had a lot of misconceptions about what military life was going to be like. So I was terrified of it, but I'm really proud these days to be where we are.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because I was in that position too at one point. And, you know, I was that person that said, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how the spouses, you know, can be away from them for so long. And I don't know how they make a life out of that. But it's funny how, it's just ironic how that can change based off of your feelings for someone, or just, like you said, it's really just out of fear and the unknown, and that there might be a different perception of what that looks like. And so, you know, I definitely, and I know there's a lot of military spouses that I'm dear friends with that appreciate that too, and that they have been in your shoes and can and definitely relate to that fear and that unknown, and have probably said at one point in their life the same thing, that they were never supposed to be a military wife or a military spouse. So thank you for sharing that and sharing, you know, your journey on that. Your memoir does track your relationship with your husband, you know, from the moment that you met him in high school. So what was it like to write about the evolution of your marriage and to have that out there?
That was tough. You know, I mean, ours is not like a sunshine and roses story all the time. And one of the things that I really love about him is that he challenges me in so many ways. I mean, we've laughed about it looking back and saying, wow, you know, like I chose the person who directly pushes the most of my buttons all the time, like just with who he is and what he decides to do and the risks that he takes. It's amazing how we've chosen, like, you know, kind of exact opposites. And then what I've done as well, I think really challenges his notion of, you know, what, just how much you talk or share about stuff. He's a very private person. So what I did in writing a memoir about our lives and our, you know, and our struggles and our journey, I think really pushed a lot of his buttons too. And one of the things that was so wonderful about this process is that, you know, in doing this, I really wondered at a certain point, like, how is he going to react to this? He is a very private guy. And it was a big struggle for me in writing about us to come up with that set of ethics and boundaries about how do I respect his privacy. That was hugely important to me, but still speak my truth about what challenges our marriage is, you know, is putting on us, and how do I speak the truth about that? And, you know, I struggled really hard with that. And ultimately, whenever it came time for him to review draft, changes that he asked for were technical changes. I mean, he was down to every little detail about the aircraft and about procedures and, you know, his time as an instructor at Top Gun. Like, all of those things were super, super important. But everything else, I mean, anything that I said about him personally or about our relationship or our history, he let that alone. And I looked at that and I thought, God, that is such a brave and generous act. There was so much love and trust in that and in being able to let me write about fights that we've had and try to, you know, represent both sides of it. And, you know, it was just it was an incredible gift that he gave me that also kind of made me realize, you know, he takes what I do as seriously as I take what he does. He was really committed to helping me with that in the way that I needed. And that was huge for me. That was a huge, huge, huge moment to realize that he was there for me in that way.
Wow, that's awesome. And I mean, it sounds like, you know, you have a great guy there, and that's
neat. So.
But but I think that it's encouraging. I think to a lot of people too, and. I know that the book itself, it weaves elements of your childhood throughout the narrative of your meeting and marriage to Ross, and it created some startlingly clear connections. Did you discover these echoes while writing, or were they always there and you were always kind of aware of them?
I think a lot of that, the reason I wanted to include a lot of kind of the backstory in the childhood is that I feel like context is so important to understanding anybody's story. And, you know, I wanted readers to really get a sense of who I am and where I'm coming from in approaching all of these questions. Because I didn't set out to write like a how-to guide for how to be a military spouse, or if anything, it's how not to be a military spouse. But, you know, and I also kind of took very seriously this responsibility of speaking to both a civilian and a military audience. So I wanted my civilian audience, because, I mean, there's just massive misconceptions out there about, you know, branch of service, I think, is just such a huge indicator of perspective here. I mean, I'm talking about the Navy experience and the Navy definition of a deployment, and specifically within that, what it's like as an aviator versus, you know, what it's like for people on an aircraft carrier. That's not the same as what the Air Force considers a deployment. And it's definitely not the same as what the Army understands as a deployment, both in the length of those deployments and the frequency and the turnaround and the pace. So I wanted to be able to give people an understanding of, like, look, this is my particular story. Some of the things that really triggered me or challenged me about this lifestyle, I wanted to show readers very clearly, look, this comes from this part of my childhood or this earlier experience or this family pattern that I'm afraid of repeating. And so much of that also, I've got to give a shout out to my parents, who I totally put through the ringer on the page, but they're awesome people. And one of the things they really insisted on pretty early on when I was going through a really rough patch as a teenager was therapy, and, you know, putting me, making me accountable for my emotions and my decisions, and being able to communicate about those and own those decisions. And I think the value of that kind of work can't be understated. I think, and early on when I started it too, it was something I was embarrassed about and that I wanted to hide, and I didn't want anybody to know that I had to go and see a shrink or anything like that. But now I look at that and I see what a gift it was for my parents to prioritize that and to say, no, you know, you need to work your stuff out and you need to, you know, figure out why you're doing these things and be able to talk about them.
That's really awesome. It sounds like you had some, you know, really great, you know, parents who really encouraged you to be open, and that's just fantastic. I just can't say that enough. So, but we do have to take just a real quick break, Rachel. But when we come back, let's go ahead and talk about the mental health struggles you share that you have grappled with in the past, and why you chose to speak so openly about it in your book. Listeners, don't forget, if you're listening to our show live right now, the AWM Core team is hanging out over in Twitter chat. You can join in on the conversation and ask questions of our guests by going to twitter.com/ArmyWife Network and use hashtag ArmyWife to participate. Make sure to click on the live tab to get real-time chat updates. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
You're hired. Those words are music to any recent graduate's ears, and they're familiar words for CareerStep alumni. 84% of CareerStep graduates land jobs right out of school. Start working in an in-demand field like pharmacy technician or medical coding and billing in as little as 3 months, taking online classes whenever and wherever is best for you. CareerStep nurtures relationships with its network of more than 900 employers, and many of them prefer CareerStep alumni. Let CareerStep help you take the next step toward a rewarding new career. Visit careerstep.com/military to learn more today.
The military offers great allowances and entitlements when moving military members, and you can maximize these entitlements by being educated. This is a Money Minute from In Charge Education Foundation and MilitaryMoney.com. Temporary lodging expense, or TLE, can pay off, but only if you take advantage of it. So although you may be eager to get into your new home, keep in mind the following ways you can save money. Members are authorized 10 days of TLE when permanently changing stations. The 10 days can be split up in any amount, whether in the old or new base, but only 10 days total can be used. During your 10 days of TLE, you receive full travel per diem and full dependent travel per diem. During TLE, the member must use government quarters or must have a non-availability statement to qualify. So remember, before your permanent change of station, make sure you listen to the finance briefings to maximize your savings. This Money Minute is made possible by InCharge Debt Solutions. Visit us online at www.incharge.org.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Rachel Starnes, author of The War at Home, A Wife's Search for Peace, and Other Missions Impossible. Before we went to break, we were discussing how the book weaves elements of Rachel's childhood throughout the narrative of her meeting and marriage to her husband, creating several startlingly clear connections. Rachel, in The War at Home, you write very openly about your struggles with mental health from your teenage years to your first pregnancy. Have you grappled with the stigmatization of depression, and was it a deliberate decision to include it so prominently in the book?
Oh, absolutely. Depression's been such a humbling force in my life. Having to get a prescription filled and going to seek therapists through the military health network, I mean, that's really kind of, I think, forced me to kind of confront the idea of, you know, feeling like the crazy woman in this kind of hyper-masculine culture that, you know, really put such a high value on things like having quick judgment and linear thinking and this imperviousness to stress and fatigue and emotional pain. I mean, all these are things that are strengths or are considered strengths in the work that Ross does. And they're the exact things that I struggle with whenever my genetic history of depression starts to rear its head. And it was a very deliberate decision to make that part of the narrative. In a way, I wanted to normalize that conversation because I feel like when we don't talk about it, it's a disservice to everybody involved. It's a disservice to the people who suffer with it, and it's also a disservice to the people who live with someone who suffers with it, who won't acknowledge that or can't follow up on the resources to get help because of this stigma that, you know, I have no reason to be sad, or there's, you know, this is just me complaining, or whatever it is. I think there are some really big misunderstandings about mental health struggles from people who haven't dealt with them. And so, yeah, I wanted to be very open about that. And I wanted to also just kind of, I think, foreground the issue that it's not just it's not just service members who deal with that as an effect of their work, that it can also affect family members, and it can also, especially with postpartum depression, I think too, sometimes that can really feel like a very isolating time of life for new moms who are, you know, also relocating and feel like maybe they don't have their regular network of support. Postpartum depression can be a super humbling force, I think, that if you're not able to talk about it, or if you're not able to connect with someone and get the help you need, it can be devastating, and it doesn't need to be that way.
Well, I personally want to say thank you for, opening up that conversation, as you put it, because it is something that I think a lot of women are afraid to talk about because of how people will label them, or, you know, what they'll be thought of. And so to be open about that and to say, you know, let's talk about this is, that's great. And so thank you for your willingness to be open about that. So we're going to kind of switch gears here a little bit. In the book, you describe navigating networks of military wives. And like any social network, some were a good fit and some weren't. So how did you approach making friends at new bases? And how do you keep in touch with friends once you've relocated?
I think that was one of the most intimidating aspects of military life for me, was the idea that I was going to be thrown in with this unknown group of women who were doing what I was doing and most likely doing it better pretty much all the time, dealing with more and handling it better was, I think, the fear that I had going into it. And sometimes, you know, frankly, that was right, that they were dealing with more and handling it better. But I also should make clear that over the time that I have been, you know, moving around in these groups and meeting these women and coming to understand how all of our lives work, I mean, this is where I'm seeing my modern heroes. I mean, the military spouses that I've met, that skill set is so formidable, of just being a logistician for, you know, all the different successive and creative emergencies that come up, dealing with all of that and trying to make everything normal and to define normal for their families, that's a skill set that I think doesn't get anywhere near enough airtime or play in terms of how valuable it is and how applicable it is actually in a number of different contexts. I think there is also kind of a misconception, or at least I found this early on when I was trying to find jobs, short-term jobs in a lot of different places, that, you know, there was this idea that since I was going to be in a place for not very long, that somehow that made me less valuable or less marketable. And what I found, and I think experience bears this out, meeting so many different wives who do this, and is that, you know, the fact that you are in a place for a shorter amount of time, I think also almost makes you more potent as an employee, because you know that you get so much more done, and you have that that incredible skill set of being incredibly versatile and flexible and quick thinking and on your feet all the time, that I really do think that a lot of employers are missing out if they don't consider that population and value that population at the market value, at the going rate, and not undercut a potential salary for thinking that that somehow a military spouse's short period of time is going to make them a less valuable worker. I think that's a total misconception. But also, I think when it comes to how I make friends and how I stay in touch with them, you know, honestly, that's been something that my skill set has had to evolve over the years. I initially started out quite shy, and it was hard for me to put myself out there in the beginning and make friends. And certainly what's made that easier is having kids. I have toddlers now who, two boys, they're 5 and 4 right now, and they regularly get into just the kind of situations that you have to go and meet your neighbors and explain yourself and try to, you know, help facilitate the lives of these two, like, really rambunctious little boys. That forced me to go out and make friends. And also the fact that now they're really at an age where they're paying attention when we're moving. I need to be able to model the kind of work that you have to do to maintain the friendships that are important to you. And to show my kids that, you know, we're not erasing your lives every time we move. There's work involved, and there's expense involved, and there's a time commitment to sitting down and actually writing a letter to your friends and sending them things and pictures and drawings and stuff. But that's important. And, you know, this really is an extension of your family. Like, your military family is important on a level that most people, I think, in the civilian world reserve that kind of commitment and intensity and emotion for their biological families or their, you know, their extended families. Really, for us, it's different. I mean, it's I think explaining those bonds to my kids has made me better at really realizing how much they mean to me and how hard I'm willing to work to keep them going.
Those relationships, they're so important. They really are, and it's great that you're home myself. So I absolutely understand where you're coming from with that. What do you hope that readers will take away from The War at Home?
Oh gosh, I think maybe my biggest hope is that they'll just ask more questions of the, you know, that if they're a civilian population, they'll just ask more questions about the military service members that they know. And, you know, start a conversation beyond thank you for your service, or, you know, I really think that there's a massive gulf in the understanding of what life is like when it comes to the civilian culture and military culture. And even within the military culture, I think one of the greatest gifts of writing this book has been kind of a reality check and the cross-pollination that comes from talking to people with experiences in different branches of the service and just realizing, you know, how different those experiences are. That's been eye-opening for me, and I've felt so fortunate to be able to interface with spouses from all different branches of service and also from spouses whose husband's military or significant other's military service has ended. And, you know, I've been hearing from people who've read the book whose husbands or wives served decades ago, and what's different now about what, you know, about how service is experienced, and also what's the same and what has been surprising to them about reading about a modern experience, how much is still the same. So I'm hoping that there will be more of a discussion around that, because I really do feel like the voices of military spouses, it's a unique perspective. It's an incredible vantage point with which to bridge the gap between the civilian and the military experience. And honestly, I also really hope that I can connect with other parents, whether they're military or civilian, and anybody who's ever struggled with depression or postpartum depression. Just I don't know, open up that discussion a little bit more.
Well, I am so excited that we have had this opportunity to talk with you about the book, and it sounds so good, and I am so looking forward to our readers, our listeners being becoming readers of the book. And so the all-important question now is, where can our listeners go to get a copy of the book, The War at Home?
You can find it in any of the bookstores, Barnes & Noble. You can find it on Amazon. Probably the best and most supportive thing you can do for the literary community where you happen to be stationed is to pick it up at your local independent bookstore. There are also a couple of different bookstores in Texas and California that still have signed copies. And I want to express my deep gratitude and admiration for what you guys are doing and for the chance to talk with you and your listeners. And I really appreciate that.
Well, and thank you, Rachel. It's meant so much to us that you've been able to be our guest this evening, and we really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us and share with us and our listeners about your book. So we really appreciate you, too.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Next week, we will be observing the Labor Day holiday. However, you can always access our archive shows in the meantime while we're out. We'll be back with you on Monday, September 12, 2016. Our featured guest will be William Garrow, joining us to discuss his fascinating new book, The Matthews Men, Seven Brothers, and the War Against Hitler's U-Boats. It's going to be another great show, and you don't want to miss it. In the meantime, join us on armywifenetwork.com to stay connected through resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets, such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.